Breaking news, Ghost Pissers. We have just been handed down this important list from the commissioner of the National Football League, a large nonprofit organization in America. That is Mr. Roger Goodell.
Big breaking news.
He has become aware of Ghost P's reach, and he has asked us to deliver you these rules concerning NFL suspension policies. In light of recent controversies, we are going to just try and get through this as quickly as possible for your sake and for our sake, but this is important news from the NFL.
The NFL wants there to be no confusion the next time one of these things happen, why the suspension isn't as long as you think it should be.
Now, a lot of light was shed on this issue when Ray Rice knocked his girlfriend out and dragged her from an elevator, and he was suspended for 2 games. Roger Goodell stated that that was consistent with league policy, and I believe that the rest of this list demonstrates why that's the case. Again, you knock your girlfriend out, you're suspended for 2 games, buddy.
If you punch your girlfriend in the face and don't knock her out, that's 6 games. It's a 6-game suspension. We're football players, okay?
This
if you're
is
gonna
the
hit
NFL.
A woman in the face, yep. You should be able to knock her out. 6 games.
Obviously, smoking marijuana is a 4-game suspension on your first violation, a 6-game suspension on your second violation. As we all know, two Pittsburgh Steelers were recently pulled over driving under the influence of the devil's weed itself, and they had an unidentified woman in the car. Goodell has confirmed with us that if one of them had thought to hit her in the face, they would really only be facing a 3-game suspension tops.
Because, as everyone knows, smoking pot is twice as bad as punching a woman in the face. So, 4 games.
Personally, I've heard 6 times as bad, but it doesn't come up generally, except
exactly.
In football.
Next rule.
No murder.
No murder.
If you get caught murdering, you're not allowed to have any Gatorade. You can only drink water.
Tepid tap water.
You can wait, and you can see how cold the faucet gets, but if it is wasting too much of the team's time, sorry, Charlie. It's tap water for you.
Tap water. Serial murder, though, on the other side of that, is time served.
Makes sense.
You'll have a longer sentence if you're still able to play when you get out. You can return to the NFL with
absolutely.
The caveat that you go on a fishing trip with Terry Bradshaw.
He's a good speaker.
You spend a weekend together.
He helps straighten people out in the head some of the time. So I was having a really dark period of my life just recently, and I spent some time with Terry Bradshaw.
Thanks
was,
to the NFL.
It was rewarding. Yeah, thank you, Goodell. Thank you, Terry. It means so much. Don't send mean texts to other players. It's the next rule.
That's one preseason game.
One preseason game.
Or tweets is also included with the...
And don't think we aren't thinking about subtweets, guys. Okay?
Let's keep it clean. Let's keep it friendly
no
on
bullying.
Twitter.
No bullying.
No bullying.
I think we've all seen what happens when people are bullied. Generally, they become stronger, develop good senses of humor... it builds character. We don't want any of that in the National Football League.
Right.
That is a direct quote from Mr. Goodell.
If a player decides to do some advertising for Papa John's Pizza, their penalty is to buy 3 franchises. They now have to own them, purchase them.
If you're going to sell it, you're going to commit to it.
You have to be known as a Papa John's owner.
I would expect that that will actually cause divorce rates amongst NFL players to probably go down.
Probably.
Dogfighting. It's against American laws. It's against NFL laws. Thereby, time served is a logical extension.
Come right back into the league after you serve your sentence.
Roger Goodell is not a stupid man. He got some input from Mike Shanahan. He got some input from Mike Reed. Andy Reed.
Him too.
All of the Reeds.
Yes, all of
the Reeds spoke up about this. And they decided that to fight small dogs against each other for small bets is not a crime.
Not a crime.
Carte blanche.
The 12-pound, $20 rule. Small dogs, small bets.
12-20 rule. Remember it. It's easy. Jot it down on a sheet.
Dogs smaller than 12 pounds, bets smaller than $20. Above that, time served. Okay.
Now, if there's one thing I think we can all agree on, regardless of a dog's size, it would be that raping said dog is wrong. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, absolutely. The NFL wants to know that they frown upon it. And if you are caught raping puppies,
kittens, even
small animals of any kind, you will have to wear a half size shoe too small for one preseason game.
Now, think about that. When your puppies are that sore at the end of it, you're going to think about what you did to that puppy.
The NFL extremely frowns upon this.
Steroid use is a problem that has plagued a lot of sports. Fortunately, it has never plagued national football.
That we know of.
And out of this concept, if you are to be caught red-handed, red-needle-handed, injecting steroids into yourself, you personally have to fly yourself to Roger Goodell's office at football headquarters.
All travel costs are on you.
And allow him to slap you on the wrist.
An actual slap on the wrist.
Believe you me, it will sting.
It will sting for, you know, a little bit of time.
That time estimate came directly from Roger Goodell's desk itself.
Now, we're getting into the really serious offenses
These are some severe policies. We, even as your humble ghost pee podcasters, have to question the severity of some of these. But we've been paid by the National Football League, America's largest nonprofit organization.
A sum of money.
To make sure that these get out to the people. Touching Tom Brady.
If you touch Tom Brady,
don't do it.
Don't do it. The NFL will ban you to live in Iran for 1 month.
Do it. You don't want to do it. You don't want to live there.
During the offseason, of course. They're
right,
not maniacs.
So you don't miss any
games.
We're
not savages.
But you're going to have to train with terrorists, that kind of thing. They're going to make you wear big robes.
Don't
jog around
touch
in the desert.
Tom Brady.
It's
don't
bad
touch
for your
him.
Knees. It's bad for your
don't
knees
touch
training
him.
Out in the sand like that.
Okay. Next one. If you, you know, get a little cocky, and you think you want to look at Peyton's neck, don't do it. Don't even look at his neck, okay?
Don't look at it weird. Don't look at it nicely. Don't look at it in any
don't
such
glance
way.
At it. Don't see it from your peripheral out of the side, okay? Just don't even think about his neck.
He's got
lifetime
a couple,
ban.
He's got a couple good seasons left in him.
Lifetime ban.
And his neck doesn't need any bad things.
Don't look at it. Lifetime ban. And this last one, I think everybody knows.
Last but not least.
This has been handed
obvious.
Out.
It's kind of obvious.
And so it's a good one to wrap up on. But if you go to church, lifetime ban. They've already handed this out to Tim Tebow. NFL is very serious about this.
I think the NFL's better for it.
Yeah. Don't
no
go to church, guys.
No more stupid poses, anything like that.
The NFL's had enough.
Leave God out of football. Because football doesn't care about God.
Right. This has been a message from the National Football League. We thank you. We now return you to your prior
entertainments.
Entertainments. Thank you, Nick.
Let me kick out the chairs. Kick out the chairs. I gotta kick them out.
This is Pepe.
Pepe. It's me. It's Cop Doctor.
It's Pepe.
I know, Pepe. I need your help. I just woke up in a bathtub full of ice. I think one to two of my kidneys are missing. And I need you to bring me two packs of Turkish silvers, three bags of saline solution, and my favorite
Hold
shotgun.
Hold on, let me get a pen. Hold on.
Pepe. Dude.
You're in a tub? All right, go ahead. I got it.
Tub full of ice.
Ice, got it.
Two bags of cigarettes.
Cigarettes.
Three bags saline solution.
Got it.
My favorite shotgun.
What?
The blue one.
You said.
I know what I said, Pepe. And now I'm telling you that I need it again. My favorite shotgun, the blue one. With lightning bolts and Cop Doctor written on the side.
Okay, Cop Doctor.
Next time on Cop Doctor.
All right, well.
All right.
Cheers. Our photographer is here. Cheers.
Yeah, hey.
Episode 25.
25.
We're a quarter of a fucking century old.
25 just happens to be released on Labor Day weekend, too. Which is pretty fucking crazy when you think about it. We think
not even close to a coincidence.
Not at all.
It means something.
Purposeful.
I don't know what. Just that we don't like to work, probably. We'd rather be doing this.
Yeah, well, we started out on Fake Patty's Day.
Yeah.
And here
no,
we are.
No, I think it was actual St. Patty's Day, wasn't
no,
it?
No, it wasn't. It was Fake Patty's Day. It was a Saturday pee-pee. Before. Fuck off. Who pissed?
So, happy Labor Day, everybody.
Happy Labor Day.
You're probably not listening to this during the weekend, because we're sure as hell not recording it on the weekend.
We are recording it the Tuesday preceding Labor Day. Yeah. Tuesday night.
You're
doing
getting like
this
the,
for you.
You're getting the fumes of this last weekend we just
hey,
had.
Hey, Weston, where are you and your family going?
We'll be going to a little place, a little quaint place called The Gorge. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's in Washington.
Is it just called The Gorge?
Well, that's what the amphitheater is called. It's gorgeous. Columbia River. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's kind of a big river.
Yes.
To see a little band called the Dave Matthews Band.
Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah. Cool. It'll be 36 through 38 for me, times that I've seen
that. Wow.
I figure I said it on stage Saturday. I might as well just come out to everybody. Okay, I am a Dave Matthews fan.
Big DMB fan.
Huge. So,
big DMB fan.
DMB followers, feel free to listen in.
And I mean, you and your wife and your son.
Yeah, we're taking roommate
are
Will.
All headed out.
The one-year-old. To his first Dave Matthews concert.
Well, that's important.
Yeah.
I think if my parents had got me started earlier on the DMB train, I would have maybe followed suit a little bit better, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, we're getting ready to head out. You got, do you have plans, Labor Day?
Working a lot on patching up the finals for the Fringe Festival.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, that's coming up. I'll be September 5th at the Fort Collins Museum of Discovery in the planetarium.
Yeah, you've already posted a video of the 360 video is kind of put together, so it looks
It just looks like a circle on the screen, and then when you watch it, you have to imagine it spread down all around you, and it's going to be giant and huge and a total mind fuck.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
And so we'll be working on that. Mick Foley, a.k.a. Cactus Jack, a.k.a. Dude Love, a.k.a. Mankind.
I kept waiting for him to get to a name that I knew.
Doing
AKA,
his,
a.k.a.
He's doing a set as his Hardcore Legends tour at Comedy Works South on Sunday of Labor Day weekend, and so I'm maybe going to go down and catch that.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
It's kind of a spoken word comedy tour over the history. He's a best-selling author as well.
Okay.
I tweeted at him asking him not to sue me because I'd made a beat over one of his matches against Sting.
A beat that's probably played at some point during this episode.
Oh, I don't know that we should, because there could be legal issues.
Okay.
I
did tweet well, we stole him at least, let's say, 25. We stole 48 songs.
I did tweet at him.
Two per episode.
You know, please don't sue. So I don't know. That line of communication has been established.
But you've probably noticed this is a little bit different episode.
I have noticed. It's strange.
Yeah.
It's a strange episode. What's going on?
You know, we've had some ideas.
We have, haven't we?
We've had just been thinking, we can get much dumber than just two guys sitting around talking and drinking.
I was recalling when we were just down at the old drinking hall.
Yeah.
Is that what they call those things these days? Real close.
The and public
we ran house, in, I think. We ran into a buddy of ours. Who happens to own some restaurants here in town that we have been doing a show at.
Yeah.
And he didn't throw rocks at us or anything. He was quite cordial.
Yeah.
We were a little stoned.
Well.
I was mostly, a little stoned. Mostly. I was a little stoned.
Just looking for a drink and
a couple of strong drinks of whiskey and places to scribble down important looking comedy ideas in a notebook, you know.
Right. We did a great job.
I think we killed it. Also, speaking of killing it, keep your eye out for the Ghost Pea YouTube channel where we've put up some videos from the first Ghost Pea show. Some second videos are sure to follow. And then, sure to follow after that, at some point, are some Ghost Pea sketches, home-cooked, stewed up, right here in the Ghost Pea house for you ghost pissers.
We have big we have sketches cooked up. We have promo videos we want to do. Like, the only thing that's holding us back is, like, full-time employment.
Yeah.
It is just a burden that we have to carry, that we have to have full-time jobs. Otherwise... shit we could do.
It's not that I hate my job. It's that my job...
I love my job.
My job is actually one of the best jobs I've ever
had.
We both
have talked at length about how...
It's also sort of like a cruel anchor that keeps me from being the free songbird that I could potentially
be. I could be broke and do lots of cool stuff.
But I need some of you motherfuckers out there to start paying me for my beautiful songs.
Besides Rolling Stone.
Otherwise, I just have to... keep working at this job that I don't mind that much. But I mean, again, I'd rather be doing this for you people all the fucking time.
It's almost like if they kicked us out on our ass, we'd be like, well, we got the comedy thing we could actually work at. And
but also, we gotta go get some fast food jobs. Yeah. Or something something shitty and painful.
Ah, it would be awful.
And so,
I love my job.
Don't fire us.
Please don't.
Employers, we actually really, really appreciate you guys. You might have noticed this episode started out differently. This episode is sort of a bizarre testing ground for a potential album.
Yeah, definitely. We figured Labor Day weekend, what a better weekend to just try some stuff. Because we figured only the hardcore like people would be listening to the episode.
That's true.
And we'll either have a huge drop-off next week or, I don't know. Like Comedy Central will be on the phone.
But,
like, we heard your first podcast.
But fuck you guys. We do this to make ourselves feel important. So
yeah,
if you're listening, thank you for joining us. If you're not listening, and I put my thumb on my nose because I thought that was extra offensive. So, funny story is we had a good buddy of mine, Roger Miller.
Like 3 days ago.
On the podcast. Was it only 3 days ago? It was like, no, like Friday. So, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's about four-ish days ago.
But then we had the show Saturday at night at
We had
Chiba.
The show Saturday, which was great. Thank you to everyone who
All
came
the comedians
that.
Fucking killed it. That's another thing they can look for on the Ghost Pea YouTube page is we try to record sets and put them up because we're... really proud of everybody who comes on the show. And see Dan headline, Ryan killed it. Fucking
Cody
Jacob
killed
the
it.
The Newman, Cody Spiker, Tobias
Our
Lewis.
Show's
thing.
Newman came on.
French
Tobias,
accent taught us
weirdo.
A big lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
Making changes.
All sorts of changes.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was a huge successful thing. But it's funny that we had Roger on. Because we had Roger on, and we recorded way too much to fit into, like, any one podcast.
Not
it just
on purpose.
It happened totally naturally, like...
And the only thing that stopped us was that we were afraid that GarageBand was going to quit recording at 3 hours. And we're like, well, seriously, we have to quit talking.
And also, we had to keep go and pee. I think that was somewhat of a disadvantage. But so it's funny because we had a certain conversation with Roger a few days before the Emmys. And then lo and behold, Jim Parsons, star of The Big Bang Theory on CBS, won the Emmy for Best Comedy Actor over...
Award-winning funny man.
Right, but over...
He's won awards for how funny he is.
Who has he beat? I mean, this year, didn't he beat Louis?
Louis C.K., of course. I mean,
you were keeping track of it, Beth. Louis, Jeff Daniels, wasn't?
Yeah.
Wasn't Jeff Daniels one of them? I mean, he took down a few motherfuckers off a few pegs.
Ricky Gervais was the other big one.
Oh, Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais.
From Derek. And, of course, you know, he won because he is obviously hilarious.
Well, congratulations to Jim Parsons. We've now heard that you're making friends money.
Friends money.
That you are getting about $1 million an episode.
Which is good because they made that in the 90s, so that tells you where you're at with your $1 million and your couple Emmys that you've beat Louis. We're very happy for him, is what I'm getting at, I think.
Yeah, we're happy for him.
We're extremely happy because he is hilarious, and the show is hilarious.
But before we try and even go on it any longer, I think we should just catch this moment before we were even hopping on the bandwagon, the Jim Parsons bandwagon. I think we should just play what we recorded last Friday night.
With Roger. Pre-Emmy. This is
pre-Emmy. Pre-Emmys.
Feel free to hashtag that.
I forgot.
Pre-Emmy after the Emmys.
Yeah. Well, or maybe just pre-Emmy. That could be.
Hashtag pre-Emmy, hashtag after the Emmy.
Yeah, two separate hashtags would be great. But we're just going to drop you into that soundscape in 3, 2, 1, 0. You are hearing it right now.
Soundscape.
Soundscape.
By Nick Holland.
Motherfucking Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
I think we should all take pictures of our faces
just,
when we meet somebody who says that they like the Big Bang Theory. Like,
or,
I want to see the look that I give. Like, really?
Or they're one of the people that say,
really?
You should watch the Big Bang Theory because you would really
what?
Like it.
No, that's it. Okay. Oh. And that is something. Okay. Roger, speak from that perspective because I think you more than either one of us, and I don't mean that by any offense at all, and this is one of the reasons why you dislike the Big Bang Theory, and why I thought of it as the rant, because we talk about how here, Wes and I have had so many conversations about how it's just shitty TV.
Right.
Your perspective is really refreshing. So,
like, we could shit out something better than that once a week.
Hey,
I guarantee you.
Roger, I think you would love the Big Bang Theory. You should check that. Have you checked that show out?
I have seen a couple episodes of Big Bang Theory, Nick.
Yeah?
Really?
What'd you think?
I do not like it.
Oh, no?
Why not? Really?
Really?
I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, you thought
so? I watch it every week.
Why did you think it was hilarious?
Well, I mean, it's just funny. The jokes they tell.
There's
some science jokes?
Sheldon's hilarious.
It's a really...
He's so funny.
It's like intelligent, funny nerd humor. That's why I thought you'd sign on to it. It's because, like, you're a little bit nerdy. And
oh, yeah,
so,
sure.
So
I like video games. I've played
video games
in my time.
Those guys like video
they
games,
like
too,
video
right?
games. Here's the biggest problem I have with the Big Bang Theory overall. And, you know, one of my favorite online personalities, maybe, I know you've heard of him because I was talking about him with Jeff and whatever, is Film Crit Hulk. And he's an online personality. He writes in all caps, like, these treatises on what the fuck was wrong with that movie or with it. And he has a thing about the Big Bang Theory, and I agree 100% because...
He writes him kind of as the Hulk.
Yeah, he writes him, like, as if he were the Hulk who was really into movies. It's great.
Critic,
it's
yeah.
really great. But basically, the Big Bang Theory, it's the worst kind of sitcom that also happens to reference nerd culture.
Right.
Apropos of nothing. There's no
basis. It just kind of
basis.
Taps into it.
Yeah.
It just borrows.
So we'll set this scene. We're all in a comic book shop. The direction might say one of the other characters who's not speaking is flipping through back issues of, you know, Green Lantern or whatever. But none of these people have ever read a single issue of the big, like, of Green Lantern.
Right.
Or Batman. Or Spider-Man. Or anything. They're just flipping through and they're still just peddling their, like, bullshit.
Right.
You know? And so the other thing with it, so there's that. There's that side of things where their only connection to nerd culture is that they reference it.
There was a brief
they
notation.
Said, oh, by the way, I brought N64 controllers over so we can play Mario. I brought two so we can play two-player. But if they knew Mario, they'd know that it was a single-player game. Boom. Whoa, what the fuck? Like, it's that kind of, like, it's detail shit. And he compares it to, Filmcrit Holt compares it to Spaced, which is Edgar Wright's TV show that he did a while ago. It was Simon Pegg's, like, first big thing. And the whole thing is about there are these nerds in Britain, you know, and, like, they can't pay the rent and they're struggling and whatever. And there's a whole episode where Simon Pegg is, like, binging on Resident Evil. And, like, it becomes the theme of the episode is him, like, being really paranoid about all of the, you know, everybody who's coming in the apartment, you know, his whole life or whatever. But if it was a Big Bang Theory joke, it would be just like, oh, we're playing Resident Evil. And, like, that's it. The end.
Yeah.
But nobody's in the cast has ever played Big Bang, you know, have played Resident Evil, whatever. The other thing with that is, and I love this, when Mac on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the season when he got really fat.
Yeah.
It was an attack on Big Bang Theory and, like, all of those guys, because there's these, like, slovenly nerds who can't socialize and can't get girlfriends, and, like, that's the whole shtick.
And
right?
After the first season, they hired personal trainers.
But they hire personal trainers. They hire you know, stylists, and they look better and better and better
on Big Bang
every
Theory.
On Big Bang Theory. Yeah. They look great
too clean.
Every year. They, like, look so, yeah, clean cut, and they look so, and it's because
their shirts wrinkled.
Yeah. But
exactly.
Right. But if you're a real,
you got no
life
nerd cred,
if you're a real
iron,
life
bitch.
Nerd, or, like, if life is really beating you down that much, you get fat, or you just give in.
You
and
have,
like,
roommates, like, and, fucking
right,
what's his
and,
name?
And you just say,
I forgot his name
"Here's
already.
The fucking towel. I'm throwing it in," yeah. And, like, that's that. But these guys look
none
better
of you
and better
have a chance
better.
With the hot girl that lives,
right?
Not
exactly.
Even hot, like, mildly attractive.
And so,
like, I'm watching the show. I'm like, I'm supposed to think this girl's hot? Like,
so there's all, yeah, that, yeah, and that's her. To me, that's all, like,
that's her credit.
So that's all surface level stuff.
Nerds think you're hot.
Nerds
killing it with the nerd crowd.
But so this all ranks in at surface level stuff. And my, like, deepest thing about the Big Bang Theory is you compare it to something like. And I try not to, because, but at the same time, it's like the proto sitcom, and that's Seinfeld. These guys, and I almost see It's Always Sunny as, like, a spiritual successor to Seinfeld, in mm-hmm. that look at these guys, they're self-obsessed, they're only out for themselves, they don't care about anybody else, and no matter what, they always get their comeuppance. They
It's Always Sunny is, like, the postmodern edition of
yeah,
Seinfeld.
Yeah, sure,
right.
I showed my mom some episodes of It's Always Sunny, and she was like, but I just can't like any of these people. She
but
was like,
not.
The premises are funny, but I just can't like any of these people even remotely for even a minute. And I, of course, brought up Seinfeld.
Right, right. But
and
you're
she
not
was
to.
Like, and she was like, yeah, but it's not as bad on Seinfeld.
Sure.
And so
Seinfeld
it's like they
is
cranked
like,
up the...
It
yeah,
was
they
in the 90s,
it up.
Though.
They
yeah,
cranked
it was
it up.
In the 90s.
So, like, for the 90s version of that, you know, Seinfeld...
And for
or,
my mother watching Seinfeld yeah. in the 90s, yeah. I bet she felt the same subversive edge
sure.
that
sure.
we felt
Kramer's
when It's Always Sunny started
Kramer's a degenerate
that
sleeps with a bunch of women and
oh,
just
yeah.
never
well,
works.
Well, he wants to live in his shower. Like, that's the whole... So, but...
shower?
Right? So you have... Yeah, you have Seinfeld and you have Always Sunny, which I feel like, you know, because sitcoms have just, like, gestated in, like,
right.
this state for the longest time. And it's the same. I almost get the same deal with How I Met Your Mother, where a lot of people are like, you should watch this because it's so great. And, like, I don't have anything wrong. Like, I don't have anything against How I Met Your Mother. But it's just, like, it's not my thing. Because it's not doing, it doesn't feel like it's doing anything.
I did watch it, the entire series, and I enjoyed it till the last season was drug out and kind of lame. But I enjoyed it. It wasn't great.
Well, I'll again, never though,
sure, I mean, it's this thing.
I'll watch reruns.
If you're gonna say there's two prototypes, or let me call it three prototypes. There's Seinfeld,
mm-hmm.
there's Cheers, and there's Friends.
Sure.
You could decide every Why other
Cheers
sitcom.
Different than Friends?
Well, Cheers is different than Friends because I'd say, and you could probably even reach back into like Taxi or something, or like the Bob Newhart Show.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
For Cheers
being more direct descendants of those shows. So maybe it's the way it's all going. But a situational comedy solely means, you know, that's what sitcom extends to. It means that you put people in just a trapped environment. You put them in a snow globe and you shake it up. And occasionally you insert new people that somebody's mm-hmm. trying to fuck
mm-hmm.
or somebody is just... is trying to now gracefully exit fucking
mm-hmm.
or something. But that's all it is. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Seinfeld both have a great, like, meta approach.
Sure.
Where they were aware of the show they were doing, the style of humor they were doing, and how they were trapped in that snow globe. You know, Seinfeld and It's Always Sunny both possess awareness of that. I'd say that all those other shows, Friends and Cheers included, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. are kind of blissfully ignorant.
Unaware. Yeah.
The writers are aware, but they don't want the audience to be aware.
Sure.
And that was the thing, is that Scrubs was metafictional in that way, but it was way too letting you in on the sitcom-iness of the joke. Hey, do you guys see what we're doing here? All this hilarious madcap.
Well, so that's where
man, I really like Scrubs.
I like a lot of Scrubs. I'd say the Scrubs fault.
There's some Scrubs that stumble. There's some
Scrubs too.
Well, it's funny. We the same thing. The Christopher Marcus, Stephen McFeely, circling back. The girl, one of the women who wrote for Scrubs, was on that same panel with them.
The screenwriters panel.
Yeah.
And they. She was talking about how women screenwriters got railroaded, and they railroaded her during the panel. Mm-hmm. They were just interrupting her all the time, this, that. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh my God,
it's happening again.
The point.
But, so anyway, that's the point is where Seinfeld, It's Always Sunny, they always get their, like, hey, these guys suck, and we know that, and we're going to make sure they pay for it. Big Bang Theory, Sheldon is a huge dick to everybody he crosses paths with. He's got that. He's got the girl right now. Like, is that the thing? I don't know.
It
seems like that's the impression I get.
Time it comes on, like a commercial, or we're watching an episode of something, and it comes on after.
Yeah.
We just start yelling until the channels change.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We literally do that.
Just don't
look, I'm changing. Like, I'm changing. Yeah,
stop.
Change the channel.
Yeah,
because
here's the thing.
That's not a joke. Sheldon's
this character that we're supposed to connect with, and we're supposed to say, "Hey, I'm a nerd," and Sheldon's like, "He's my hero," and
Urkel,
he's my avatar,
right?
He's my avatar,
but he's a dick. He's a dick to everybody. He's a dick to everyone he crosses paths with. Bazinga! That's like on T-shirts now, and it makes me want to punch him in the face. And he never gets. He never gets his...
You know what my dream is for you, Roger? Is that someday you will punch Sheldon.
I think everybody who has watched The Big Bang Theory should have to wear a Bazinga shirt to identify themselves.
Right.
So the rest of us can be like, that's one of them.
What is funny?
You're
Buzz
the problem with America.
Right, exactly.
You're what's wrong with America.
What it's funny, too,
because I'll go
home and I'll visit my parents and stuff, and they'll put The Big Bang Theory on because my dad's an engineer, and he's a big nerd. That's where I get most of my nerd cred is my dad.
Roger and his father look exactly alike.
We look exactly alike. We are basically the same person. But they put the Big Bang Theory on, and I start in on this, like, dude, I hate this. And like, but they'll say, shut up, stop, just sit
you're
back
ruining
like,
the Big
and just,
Bang
like,
Theory.
Try and enjoy it. Yeah. And, like, then I sit there just fuming at all of these terrible jokes and references. Right. And, like, have you ever watched, they do this thing, have
you're
ever,
like, Dad, have you ever seen Seinfeld? Like, seriously.
Well, have you ever watched the Big Bang Theory? They have a YouTube series. It's the Big Bang Theory where they take the laugh track out. And it's just them being really shitty to each other. And, like, that's it. There's no jokes written in. There's no. It's just them being petty and terrible. Like, we can. Maybe we can link.
Awful.
Maybe we can link that in the episode too. But like, it's just you just sit there and you're just like, these guys fucking suck.
I hate all of them.
I hate this.
They suck ass.
Dude. Oh man, it's the worst.
I listen. I have seen the show at a bar without sound, without subtitles, and it was the most enjoyable I've ever watched the show, man.
There you go. Just
no
mute
sound.
The sound.
No sound.
It's the perfect show.
Beautiful, imagetic quality.
Clean perfect. Cut.
It's
clean
very
cut
well
nerds.
Filmed.
Yeah.
Very well filmed.
I like these nerds. Yeah. They look less... They don't look threatening, right. But they also look less beat upable.
Oh, my God.
If these nerds were speaking, maybe I'd listen to what they have to say.
Yeah.
Listen to a lot of sports radio at work. There's a certain... Doug Gottlieb has a show on CBS Radio, mm-hmm. So I listen every day. So... The commercials, every commercial break on CBSRadio.com.
Oh,
so they can.
It's okay,
only
sure.
Their promotional.
Sure, 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 sure.
And it's been the same Big Bang Theory commercial for literally 8 months. And it's just Sheldon going, my brain is better than everybody's! Like screaming. And I'm like, God damn it, fucking take this shit. And then they have these articles about how they want more money. And they're postponing
they're
filming.
Making
and
so
I'm like, these fucking
money
cocksuckers
now.
Are making shitloads
they're
of
making
fucking
so
money.
Much money.
I want to point out.
They're not funny.
I
want to
point out.
Get these fucking people off TV.
That I never yell that my brain is bigger or better than everybody else's.
But he knows it.
Oh, his eyes say it regularly.
All the time. And that's my cross to bear. That is my cross to bear. I'd never.
Well, yeah. Well,
if somebody gave me a line,
if somebody screamed that in my face like he did in the episode, I'd be like,
"You'd slug
I'm
him.
Gonna kick your fucking
you'd
ass.
Slug
dude.
Him.
You're
right
a piece
right
of
his
shit.
Eye. I put a thumb right
what,
his eye.
What? I guess. Okay. Here's the crux of it. What does it say about all of us? I don't know, Americans or whatever. That's like the biggest deal show right now.
Number one show. It
is
has
that
been for a while.
Is that we've all bought
makes
into
me
this?
Sick, dude. It's the number one.
Well,
show.
It's a weird commodification of nerddom, though, because of like how good the Marvel movies are doing,
sure,
and Gravity and everything. Everybody wants to be like involved in it on a kitsch
sure,
level.
Sure,
you know, everybody wants to have
level,
a little bit of ownership. Yeah,
kind of like
really,
the ice bucket challenge.
Really shallow sure. Relationship. Absolutely, like the
sure.
Fucking ice bucket challenge.
Brought
I
it
care,
in. Brought
I
it
care
in.
About ALS. Whatever.
I don't want anyone to get Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, no.
I hated Lou Gehrig. What was he, a Yankee? I've never liked the Yankees. My dad's from Detroit. Yeah, fuck that guy. I wish nobody be blessed with his abilities.
Yeah.
You know? I'll pour
whoa.
A bucket of iced vomit on my head to make sure there's not another Lou Gehrig.
There's an idea.
Here's the challenge.
The iced vomit challenge.
Oh, my God.
The iced vomit challenge for schizophrenia.
Sponsored by Ghostbee. Ghostbee presents.
Right.
Well, worldwide.
So I'd slap my name on that.
This guy looks like a pretty tough customer, Pee-Pee.
It's Pepe.
I know.
Do you think we'll be able to use Mad Cop, Sad Cop, Cop Doctor?
My God, Pee-Pee, that's an excellent idea.
It's Pepe.
I'll take Sad Cop. I could use a good cry ever since they took Sheila. Next time on Cop Doctor.
Hey, what's up, dude? How's work going?
Oh, you know, man. It's work.
Yeah, dude. I'm fucking sick of this job, dude. The boss is always on my ass. I'm sick of this shit, dude.
Me too, man.
I'm burnt out. I can't take it anymore.
It's life. What else can you do?
Well, I'll tell you what we can do. We can get in on that fucking big taxi money,
dude. You're talking big taxi money again.
Yeah, I am. It's time we get in on this. It's time we make a move.
What move? What are you talking about?
We get in on the big taxi money.
How does somebody even get in on the big taxi money?
Dude, I know a guy. Don't worry about it. We're going to get in on it.
You know some
guy? There's big money in taxi. We get in. It's big taxi money.
I mean, am I going to have to drive a taxi?
I mean, can you?
I mean, am I going to have to?
Well, that's a question that we will cross when we get there, but we got to get in on the money. The big taxi money?
Who are these people?
It's a guy.
It's a guy?
Yeah, they're people. It's big taxi money people, dude.
Big taxi money people.
Yeah, big taxi money people.
Okay, I hate to get to break into semantics here. I hate to have to do this. But are you talking about big taxis? Are you talking about big money? Or are you talking about big people?
You're getting caught up in the details, dude. It's big taxi money people.
These seem like important details to me. The big taxi money people, I mean... What size are these people? Are most of these people taller or shorter than me?
It's just big, dude. It's big.
How big are the taxis? Huge. How big are the taxis? Are these like Cadillac boats I'm going to have to drive around?
You're getting caught up in words.
Well,
it's not words.
I don't
want to
drive
money.
Any of these
it's big,
taxis.
Big taxi money people.
Big taxi money people.
Yeah.
What kind of investment do you have to posit towards big taxi money people to get big money? I'm not even interested in the largeness of the people or the taxis at this point in time. I'm wondering about the returns for myself.
Returns.
You know, I got those three Labrador Retrievers.
I've seen pictures.
Two parakeets.
They're very beautiful. And the parakeets.
And the little vole family. That's my family. Those are my people, man. I'm hoping to buy two mini goats to put in a little enclosure in the yard. Am I going to be able to support that kind of family on big taxi money? Because I can barely scrape by. I can barely make it with them and me on this job.
What do you think? Is this big money, what you're making now? Is this big money?
I'd call this mediocre money.
This is not big taxi money.
Well, how much bigger is this big taxi money?
It's big. Big anything money.
Big anything money? What are we talking big combine money? Are we talking big...
Wait, is the combine big? And you're, what are you?
Well, I don't know. I'm speaking purely in hypotheticals.
Do you know a guy about combines?
I don't know any.
Can we get
guy
it on big combine money? Big combine money. I've heard that's where it's at.
Well,
if you know a guy with big combine.
If you are this insecure about big taxi money.
No, I think big is our only out at this point, unless you know somebody in big combine.
Well, I know a guy.
You know a guy?
Back from high school, and he's into some pretty big combine moving shit right now. I mean, I don't know.
I've known you this whole time. You've never mentioned big combine.
Well,
I've been talking about big taxis.
I just never thought, like, I always kind of thought this was a joke. I always thought this was like the pipe dream.
Let's make a move and get in on either big taxi or big combine money.
Well, so I'm asking you, which money's bigger?
Well, we just need to make a move.
All right, I'm going to write a number down on a piece of paper.
Okay.
And then you're going to write a number down on a piece
okay.
of paper. Both of those representative of the numbers on pieces of paper that we believe we could get out of these big money entities.
Okay, I'm going to write my number down first, and you tell me what you think of it.
Is that a 6 or a G?
That's a G.
Damn.
It's big.
God damn.
It's big taxi money. How big is combine money?
All right, I'm writing it down.
Okay. Gargantuan? Is that bigger than big in the ranking of money?
That's
of scale money?
We're looking at. Gargantuan is like a biblical-sized monster.
Let's make a call. Let's make this happen.
You want me to call him right now?
Let's make a call.
Should I even finish these copies?
No. Fuck this job.
Fuck this
we're
job.
We're getting in on big
you know,
combine
I'm
going to
make one last copy, and it's going to be my scrotum. Looks like a roadmap of Delaware if you look at it wrong. Contrast high enough.
I've looked at it many ways.
You ever seen Delaware? You ever seen Delaware?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Looks like fucking Dallas
Tuesday.
All right.
Oh, man, that sounds awful. Well, hey, we just want to remind our viewers that coming up after 47 at 35, a new show that both of us, Nick, are we're pretty good big fans of.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, it's riveting.
My God.
It's a show about a police officer.
My shitting, pissing God.
A rogue police officer.
Who's also a doctor.
Who is also a medical doctor.
But he's a renegade both pursuits.
He has a sidekick named Pepe, I believe.
No, I think it's called Pepe.
I think it's Pepe. But
it's open to interpretation. Of course, the show as you watch.
Sure. But anyway, we really enjoy it. He lost his wife, apparently. Sheila, I believe, was her name, and he's out for revenge.
Do you think Sheila's really his wife?
I don't know if.
Do you think Sheila's really dead?
Kidnapped? Yeah.
Do you think she's really kidnapped? I've been wondering about these things as I try to go to sleep.
Yeah, there is trouble afoot on Cop Doctor, and we are excited to watch it. So
fucking excited! Oh, I'm sorry.
To leave us on a high note on tonight's show, some local youths have created a new trend, and
they've really struck out and gone just brave into the wilderness.
They sure have, yeah.
Of this ugly, terrible world we live in.
Absolutely.
And when you see youths trying to make a change,
right,
for any disenfranchised sort of individual, it just moves and breaks your heart simultaneously, and most of the times your heart winds
sure
up
does.
Intact. And a handful of youths have developed a viral challenge very similar to the ALS Lou Gehrig's disease water bucket challenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's called the colorblindness farting in an elevator challenge.
Yes.
And
it's very powerful.
We have a few clips that we're about to play for you at the moment, but I...
Again,
can
we're
I
very
just,
proud. We're very proud of
can I
these
just
teams.
Say that you watch these local teams
mm-hmm.
boldly breaking wind
absolutely
in elevators as they move up and down. You know, it didn't make the telecast, but I saw just hours before we went on, I saw a teen farting downwind in an escalator.
Wow. Brave.
For color blindness
Brave.
Awareness. Some people can't see all the colors. Some people can't see all the colors, and so they're blind to them. And then so if you were to ask them to compare a color to another color, or ask them how they were matching on any given day, they might be put in an uncomfortable situation. And you and I oftentimes aren't aware of that, and we aren't thinking about that. And that's something we need to think about. Remember when we could just call retarded people retarded, and it didn't mean anything bad? We don't live in that day and age, my friend, my neighbor, my wife.
I believe we have the video of the very first fart on an elevator challenge.
Let's cut to that video before I bury myself in any more shit than
yeah,
I already have.
I think it's time to go to the video.
All right. That video is coming on right now.
All right, so let's talk about your comedy cred.
Let's call it Roger Miller and the Hodes, a tumultuous relationship.
Roger
Miller and Bob Gaudette.
Right. Let's preface this by
saying... A relationship of tension.
Let's preface this by saying that I haven't done stand-up comedy for about 2 years.
Right,
it's been about that long.
Okay.
That was me patting him on the back.
He was patting me. He wasn't slapping me. Nobody slapped anybody except
this isn't
on my
Mopies.
Back.
Okay.
This isn't Mopies. Where to begin? Where do we start?
Well, why did you
start with your ambulance?
Okay. So, Nick kind of got he had done some stand-up when... Oh, my God. I don't like to talk about when we're younger because we're not...
We're not that old.
But we're not young.
A few years back.
Nick had done some stand-up before he was 21. He'd done a couple of things like at the Rams Scaler, things like that. Stuff that had been posted
Comedy
online.
Comedy Works. Yeah.
Our friend Sean had gotten really into it. They've been doing the stand-up open mic at
Scott
Hody's.
Scott was still murdering it.
Check out Scott Sharp right now. I don't know if he's got a... He probably doesn't have a Facebook dedicated to his stand-up. But try and find him.
Yeah, he's out in New York.
Oh my God, he's great. He's so great. But anyway, so there was it was a big time for comedy in my life, or like my, you know, circle of friends or whatever. So everyone was like, "You should try.
We were all in the theater department.
We all knew about theater. And we were all learning about performance and all this stuff. So I was like, "Shit, sure, cool. I will do stand up." And so I wrote a couple of jokes.
Scott and Sean got me back into stand up.
What got me into it was that Nick had gotten back into it and that kind of thing. And you guys had, you and Sean had done the big competition, the UFC thing, the ultimate comedian. Yep. So you'd gotten into that. Everyone was like, "You should try it. You should do it." And I was like, "Well, why the fuck not?" So I'd written a couple of jokes, and, you know, 5 minutes of stuff, and like, you know, I did okay, but it didn't slay or it didn't do super great. And so I was like, okay, cool. Everybody seems to be kind of doing this same gimmick of like, "Hey, I'm a really approachable guy, but I've got a lot of issues."
Stand up.
And so these guys sent me videos of Andy Kaufman, and we watched...
Well, and in all fairness, you and I were both talking about, and I was starting to do a lot of weird shit.
You were doing a lot of weird stuff.
And so we were like, this was the beginning of my... silent period,
yep,
and
yep,
moving shit
and like
on stage.
building a barrier between himself and the audience. So Nick was doing his own weird stuff, and Sean, on the other hand, kind of was like, "Hey, let's watch Man on the Moon."
And Sean was also, though, killing quippy one-liner Dimitri Martin.
He was doing
comedy.
Dimitri Martin meets Mitch Hedberg.
Clever sentences.
Yeah,
and he was destroying.
And because Sean is somebody who's very into words and very into how English works, and you know, plays on words and like that kind of thing, that was working super well for him. And so he was kind of like, "Hey, let's watch Man on the Moon,"
which was a great movie.
It's a great movie,
wonderful.
And so I was like, "Well, shit."
That was my intro to Andy Kaufman.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so I had watched his HBO special all the way through, and I was like, sold. I was like, "This is fucking awesome! Like, this is
it's the ultimate god!" Ultimate of kind of like that weird.
Well, you know,
he's doing it at a stand-up venue.
Like, it's not at all... Until the point where he's, like, telling terrible jokes and not getting a reaction, but then being like,
"But even
why
that's
are they not
part
laughing
of it.
At me?"
Even that's
it's
part of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was... Oh, my God. He's a genius.
He's telling them because they were bad.
Exactly.
Like,
so
the uncomfortableness you feel...
So, anyway...
It's harvesting.
Yeah, like, so, anyway, long story short, we watched Man on the Moon, and I was like, "Oh, my God. This is
you
the kind of shit
new...
that I need to be doing." Because there were so many people at Hody's who would show up and be like, "Eating vaginas real hard, am I right?" And like, I felt like I had nothing extra to contribute in that kind of, and I saw Nick branching out in this direction, and I was like, "I'm going to try and branch out in this direction." So I think there was one time, and I had written some jokes, and I used some of my jokes from before, but I was like, "I'm going to approach this as though I had crossed a gypsy the wrong way, and she cursed me to where I couldn't land a joke." And there was one point where I had been chewing gum, and it fell out into my cup, and I was like trying to like dig it out instead of tell jokes for a minute, and some like things like that, and it killed.
It did really well.
Well,
it was just, it's so different, especially because some of the times, in all honesty, the audience does get sick of the pussy stuff to eat, because it's not that tough to eat. You just, you know, pay attention to it.
You just gotta listen. You just gotta listen. Listen and pay attention. Open communication between you and your partner. It's not that hard.
Stand-ups are so self-centered, and they haven't figured out cunnilingus yet. God.
So I was like, oh my God, that works for me. So the next night, I took it even further, and I think that was where I did the, the first thing I said was, don't panic, and I started to take off all my clothes, and it was winter, so I had this big puffy coat, and I pulled this McDonald's bag out of it. I stripped down to my boxers, and I said, this is an act that I've been trying to use for auditions, and every time I do it, they kick me out. And it's called Eating Dinner. And it was based on this thing that Andy Kaufman had done where he did the same thing, but he ordered a thing of ice cream and he just ate ice cream. And, like, that was the whole thing. Like, right. That was his whole act. And so I was like, it's called Eating Dinner.
Study.
Yeah. And so I was like, this is called Dinner Time. And I took a big boombox out and I had put on the soundtrack to the first Ninja Turtles movie. And I just ate a McDonald's, like quarter pounder or something.
For 5 minutes.
You and then I just left.
Clothes. What did the crowd do?
They were...
It was a mixture.
It was a
big crowd. I was in the crowd then, there. Yeah. That beach thing that I was talking about like, you know, when you kept getting hit in the eye by embers.
Right.
And how I was like, well, this is going to be funny, like, once, glad three times. Glad you acknowledged
I was being in.
Yeah. It was almost a, like, Family Guy joke where they just... Yeah, they just drag it on. And it was like, everyone was kind of like, where's this going? And it was like, finished. And I was like, well, that's it. Thank you.
So the beat and the rhythm was kind of found somewhere in between how long he'd been standing there doing it and how uncomfortable the rest of the people were. And the two, like, you would kind of do things. You'd take pauses and chew for a while.
I think there was a point where I said something.
I think you said something, but it was a throwaway. It wasn't an actual joke.
Yeah.
And so the thing was, it was like this kept having opportunities to stop happening.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people would laugh because they'd be like, oh my God, this is about to stop. This is about to end. And then once he didn't end it, once he was still committed, it was like, this thing where people would laugh at that. They'd be like,
this is still
I'm still
happening.
Here.
I'm still watching.
This guy
I paid
is still
$5
doing this
for
shit.
This.
You know? And it's like, and so I think that was part of it. For me, the biggest one.
And well, because Jeff would all kind of sit by the back and like kind of
I'd
watch
sit on
and
a pool
you.
Table
yeah, and you'd
it.
Have an idea
but
of what
I'd
was
study
happening.
The whole room because yep. you yep. were doing the similar, most similar stuff to the weird stuff I was doing.
Yep.
And so
yep.
I was like, where did the last come? What does it mean?
Yep.
And so I was watching you for my own benefit,
right.
just as much
sure.
as myself. And we'll talk about in a second. We got to get to the one that sort of
yes.
got you in the bad
oh,
graces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll
but
get. We'll
I gotta,
get there.
I gotta talk about my
this,
favorite one.
I did.
Can I just?
Was it the opera one? Because I was
my favorite one okay. was when you brought Kiernan.
That
on,
was the one that
crazy.
Got me in big trouble. Okay, there's one I want to... So I did this for about 4 or 5 weeks. There's maybe
are you
a...
Are angry at each other?
No, not at all. There's about...
You're
there
very
a,
excited about these
There's
stories.
About 5 weeks where it was the McDonald's thing. There was some... The gypsy woman thing. There were a handful of things. One in particular, it was my favorite, was I got up and I said, hey, I was set to go on... I was set to go on and do stand-up, but everybody's been doing this, and I actually just got a call that my dad has been diagnosed with cancer, and I need to... Just to process that, I want to try and raise some money for him. And so I was like, I'm going to sing him... I want to sing him one of his favorite songs. This was in the middle of July, and I was like, I want to sing him one of his favorite songs... Oh, Holy Night, and I realize it's the middle of the summer, but please bear with me, and if anybody feels moved to donate, please, just like, and I took my hat off, and I held it out, and I did this very operatic.
It was very uncomfortable.
It was very operatic, uncomfortable.
I'm going to put it out there. Out of all of the things you filmed this?
Did you film
this? No!
I should have filmed
any of
it. I should have
okay.
filmed it.
No, because so, you misunderstood then, because my favorite... Was when he brought our
Did
buddy
bring
up
money?
To play acoustic
He
guitar.
Brought me a dollar. Okay,
I him a dollar, yeah.
So anyway,
Did you know it was a joke?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So I sang the
I tried to see what was going to happen.
And I got through, and then, like, so I actually had started, like, kind of coughing, too, like, before I started. And then the whole thing devolved into me having a big coughing fit. And I was like,
I think that's when I gave you the dollar.
Yeah, and then I said, I'm sorry. And then I got off stage and I left the building. And I circled the block a couple of times, just walked around, and then came back in a little while later. But that was it. And
okay.
So, all right. So his all favorite right. was the last one that I did.
No.
It's
weird. My favorite, because, no, people did react. People reacted. It was a very strange, it's like stand up and somebody has just like shit all over our expectations. You have to realize that this happened in the middle of a night of Hody's stand up, too. And that Hody's was not that much different than it is now. That some nights would be pretty good nights and some nights would be fucking dead nights. And he was doing this sometimes when there was like 15 people and all the like, boop, ba, 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 yeah, comics had just been killing it. And then other nights where there were like 10 people and it was mostly comics and we're all dying.
And I think
this was still his shit. Now, my favorite is this was a good night. He had Kiernan,
one of our friends, another theater guy. Who I'm doing who did, plug for the show eventually. Who I'm doing art with.
He's in Roger's Friend show. But he had Kiernan come up and play acoustic guitar, and he screamed the words of Gnarls Barkley crazy. He had Kiernan learn crazy, and then he just screamed it, actually in pretty good time with the music, too. But like he was in an argument with people. So he was like, can you just shout away from the mic?
Yeah, no, no, okay, so what I did, this was the last one I did because it got me in a lot of trouble. Because I had Bob introduce me.
That was the one.
That was the one. That was the end of my run. Because I had Bob introduce myself and Kiernan. No, I had him introduce us as Roger Miller and the Fort Collins Symphony Orchestra. And Kiernan came up, and we'd worked it out, like, the night before. And I spoke, like, a William Shatner spoke, talk, sung crazy.
No, you didn't. He yelled the lyrics of Crazy.
Please do stand up again.
He yelled the lyrics
Please do
crazy.
Stand up again. Roger, listen to me.
He's trying to downplay the aggressiveness of what he did. I'm not a person that discounts aggressiveness in stand-up.
That's true.
In fact, it's kind of the only thing I have going.
It's kind of
will you make your comeback at a Ghost Pee
Presents show?
Oh my gosh,
I would love to.
What if we had him open? Could you and Kiernan do that again?
Oh my god, I'd love to. I'd love to do that. Okay, so I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so upsetting. And, like, there was, like, before we started, I'd, like, threatened Kiernan to, like, we missed the first beat, and I, like, threatened him, and I told him I kidnapped his dog, and, like,
yeah, and then
here's the play. On the episode that Bennett and Disney are featured with their music, we forfeit any time we would do, and we go, we are so fortunate to have this act in. Like, we haven't heard much, we haven't heard them specifically,
but we've heard about them.
They were in Rolling Stone last month. They're supposedly like this great actor,
no,
and they just contacted us.
3 years ago. They dropped off the grid.
Right.
They just contacted us, and they wanted to come back and do a quick comeback set. So this is the first time.
We're seeing them.
You guys
saw
some names.
So it ended, and I said, maybe I am crazy. And then, you know, Bob had already, like, clued in, and he was like, giving me this thing, and he was giving me, you need to stop. This is the end of this.
He does it to Nick, and Nick just ignores him.
Nick ignores him, and I was like, I didn't see him at first because
I was in the zone.
And so then, to end it, I was like, would a crazy person do this? And I poured my PBR all over myself. And then Bob basically chased me off stage, and he shouted, and he said, like, we need to get some rags to clean up after this fucker or something like that. And Bob was pissed. Bob was so mad.
Bob was legitimately so mad. He was
so
upset.
Did
you go over your time? What was he mad
at? No.
Spilled the beer all over himself.
I spilled the beer myself.
But he made it sound like he was already upset.
Well, okay. He was already upset because he was screaming. No, there's a handful of things. Here's why he was mad at me.
Because everybody was in comfort.
So, because I...
That's what you do every time.
Well, yeah. Okay. So, I stuck around because I felt super guilty. Because Bob was really mad, and I could tell. I felt super guilty.
Bob was so mad.
He was so mad. Funny. So I stuck around, and I said...
I waited,
because, you know, there were a handful of people, like, okay, maybe we can get on the list next week, and maybe we can do this and that. And they went off, and then at some point, like, because Eric Lindstrom had also had a pretty historic...
Eric Lindstrom.
Oh, nice. He'd had a pretty historic
night. Is this the one where he called a woman a cunt? Yes. And called a woman
like a living abortion, and like, so he'd had his own like historic night that night. So he was having a chat with Eric, and he said, like,
and then
hey.
Roger comes in.
And, well, so I'm kind of sitting because I'm waiting to, like, have my moment with Bob, and he's sitting and he's,
Bob.
He kind of looks at Eric, and he's like, listen, we don't have a problem. And then he kind of looks at me, and he says, we have a problem. We're going to talk. And he looks back at Eric and continues their conversation about how he just needs to tone it down a little bit and this and that. Eric leaves, and I come over, and I was like, hey, I just wanted to say I did, like... I'm just like plowing new ground. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And he's like, we need to chat. And he said, it's great that you're bringing the weird and you're bringing the strange, but every time you get on stage, you're grinding the gears. You can hear the night come to a full stop, and that needs to not happen. I need you to do something maybe more traditional. You can keep the weirdness, but like, it needs to not be this way.
That's actually really well said.
So, and it was.
A show
and Bob and I had a couple of redirects. Yeah. And Bob and I push each other now, and it's a very playful relationship. Because we've been at it for a few years.
And
he knows, and he's given me things, and he's been like, look, Nick, you have to.
Yep, yep.
And then I still bend every other rule.
Well, Bob very much...
And he sees it. And so, if you showed up this many years later, it's like, you and Bob would be cool.
Because
he wishes
you
well.
Well, and he even said... I did a handful of shows after that, too, where... And that was, like,
event.
My last big thing. So, because
you kind of lost your balls a little bit after
a little
that.
Bit, yeah. That definitely kind of took...
It punished you, and after a while... And then you got busy with theater.
Absolutely.
Because every time I come back after I do a play or something, it's like, it's a fucking choice.
Absolutely.
Every time you choose to do a play after you've done
another play, it's a choice. It's like, you have to decide.
Stand-up is so much more of just a lifestyle.
Right.
Of I'm going to get into this routine, I'm hitting this, that. It's an investment, but it's not that big. It's not as big of an investment. You do a play.
Although,
that's like your
whole life. I was actually really happy with the one I did the next. I think I skipped the next week, but the one after, because I came in and I didn't do a set of jokes or whatever. I just came up and I said, Bob has agreed to let me do this, but I have to follow certain rules. And I had written down a bunch of stuff, and I held it out, and I was like, I'm not allowed to do Joan Jett, Barracuda, and, like, you know, things like, you know, just a whole list of stuff. And, like, that killed. It slayed. And then I was like, but I'm not, like, it's not as fulfilling for me to, like, try and put myself in the same camp or the same corral as all these other people who are like, this certain thing is really hard. Whoa! And it's like, I get that. And there's 13 people.
He was referencing cunnilingus.
Let me ask you a question, comparatively, because I wasn't around when the shows came grinding to a halt, that sort of thing. But do you think there are people, not that do the same thing that he does, but who might bring a show? Like, you're like, ah, fuck, I gotta follow that guy. Do you ever have that feeling with anybody that is doing stand-up now? Like,
I absolutely have that feeling, but I have that feeling because of my own aesthetic. And I will still say to this day that, like, Bob and I don't entirely see eye to eye what is funny. I respect everything he's done for the comedy scene immensely. He and I respect each other's work. He and I both watch each other grow and recede at various points. You know, just that ebb and flow thing.
Well,
and
doing
comedy on and off when Bob steps back for a while, it's like, I totally respect that because he's working hard, and so if he's just shopping it out to other people and he has somebody else host for a while.
But
like,
Bob's also somebody, he's very old school in that he wants his show to go this very certain way,
but it's you're running a show.
Absolutely.
I also respect that from the Ghost.
Definitely.
That's why I didn't want to do it weekly. I do not have the
because
brass
I got on. Well,
so
let me tell the other side. The reason why I'm saying that is because I got on Bob's bad side my very first time.
Really?
And I really understood like why he was mad. Like I wasn't upset that he got mad. Like no, I understand. I fucked up. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that. And I just kept working just like, I'm just going to keep coming.
Well, and so,
that's the thing is I've fallen in and out of Bob's graces so many times.
You totally understand it, though.
But you know what's great? What's great, though, is that he lets you do it. He lets you do it week in and week out. And like, where I had gotten to, he was like, look, this is a free show we're doing, and we have to answer to the venue owners. And if you're doing things like pouring a beer on yourself like that,
I got afraid, you know, I get afraid on the show.
Yeah, exactly. And he said if they decide that this doesn't work and that they want to shut the show down, like that's what they're going to do. So, like on the one hand. I totally get that, and like that was part of the reason that I was like, well, maybe I should like cool off and like not, you know, cool my heels and that kind of thing, because I don't want to ruin any opportunity, because Hody's was a great opportunity for you and myself and even Kiernan, you know, and a whole bunch of other guys that have come up and
whenever leaving a place too, it's like the idea or concept of how much of a bridge you might have burned. And also, like, what that place is doing for you, but what you're doing for that place.
Absolutely.
And that's been points in time. That was the thing that caused me to step back, is this was ironically around the Brenton situation in my life. I was doing comedy. It built up to the play. I came. I did 47 minutes of Pateros as a headliner thing there. And it was good, and people came to it, and, like, whatever. But it, like, wasn't fulfilling. I was like, I think that was so strange that on the basis of Patero's being an open mic, I mean, it's like, the fact is a lot of people came just to see me, so they were happy about that, but I was like, I'm doing this at this place to these people, is there any sort of weird obligation thing going on?
Right.
And I was like, wait, I need to stop.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm not sure how or what I'm doing for the venue. I'm not sure, like, what I'm getting out of it.
Yeah. And I think, like, it doesn't do me a service in that the biggest takeaway I had from any of watching all of Andy Kaufman's stuff, and, like, I revisited it a little bit because I've been kind of showing Lily some of the stuff, too, and I've been like, he was a genius, and, like, this was gold. But the biggest thing I took away from him was he said, I don't care if people love me or hate me. I want people to react. And that's what I want. Yeah. And so I took that.
Well, that's how Eric's the same way.
You were engaged with your fucking scuffle with the restaurant crew.
Yeah.
You know?
Being an asshole.
No, but you were still.
I was trying to be the funny asshole. Like, hey, it'd be funny if I just made fun of you, right?
But
you're like, no, that's not funny at all, dick.
You know, the thing is, though, is the whole thing relying on being the funny asshole is that you're doing it to a subjective crowd. And so, theoretically, if you're successfully being a funny asshole, that means that to some percentage of people, or in some percentage of, like, reality, you're being an asshole.
Huh.
Well, it happened that you targeted a group of people and you were a little sauced up. People were still laughing, but you were being a dick to a specific group of people here. And some of your audience was fucking digging on it. They were like,
But that's also interesting with Eric, too. And I haven't watched a lot of his... You know, I know he's rolling with the Four Horsemen, and I haven't watched a lot of their stuff since they've started doing that.
Oh, man. But part of it changed so much.
Really?
So good.
Because at the same... And I kind of want to... I should try and catch some of their stuff, because at the time... it was, it seemed like, and in a way, we were almost doing similar things, but he was more in the rule set of here's, you know, a
but
set of
at
jokes.
At that point in time, and he and I talked about this on his episode, at that point mm-hmm. in time, he was such a fucking bridge burner to
oh
the audience.
God. Yeah.
Like, if the audience turned south, if they didn't even go for a
that's
joke, and, like,
guts,
and it was still his.
Yeah.
It was,
Jesus.
Well,
how does he
but,
do that?
But he's bounced like, it out in his rhythm. Yeah. He and I have talked about, though, we've talked about the whole concept, because it's something that he and I both need to do, where at the beginning of your set, you kind of, like, establish a rule set. You know?
Oh, sure. He did that
you're
for
like,
a while.
You're like,
he'd
hey,
the, kind of the parameters
here's how,
for a
and,
set.
Well, yeah. and the parameters for the set, but then you figure out how to say it or do
sure,
it
sure.
without actually saying having to say it.
Sure.
You know, but that's what you're accessing is you're like, this is my set. These are the series of things that are going to happen. Here's why you shouldn't get upset about whatever
he
happens
goes on
during
the attack,
my set.
Even in that, though, he's
he
like,
does, he does, and he
and
does
if
it.
If you have
Eric
a problem,
style,
like you know, yeah. being a
this
adult.
Wasn't for you.
Yeah,
this wasn't
he calls
for you.
People like not they're not
go home. You
or
shouldn't
something.
Come out tonight. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's like he does it in a way where he's already won the conflict. And the thing was
true.
Though is that Eric of those days, I'd say the. Biggest difference was is that he wanted to engage in the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I think that after a certain point of stand-up, you
well,
realize
it's
over, it's finished, I'm
yeah.
done, I won, I yeah. have the microphone.
Well, he was
you
definitely
know,
an,
said that
he was an instigator,
that.
Too.
I matter,
say,
you
he
don't.
He did say, I matter, you don't, I have the microphone.
Yeah.
But I've gotten to that point, too.
One.
When Bennett was starting this mic at a biker's bar, and he brought, like, me and Dan.
Up to Cheyenne?
Last
or
summer.
To,
no, down in North Loveland.
Okay.
It was like
oh, that's right. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I did this thing. And I showed up. Unfortunately, I had a shaved head and a big beard. It was right about this time last year, and I just wore a tank top. And there was these drunk biker people just heckling everybody.
Yeah.
And I showed up, and before I said anything, I just stooped over. I like bent into a fetal position, still on my feet, and I was like, "Shut up, ma'am." Shut up. For the love of God, shut the fuck up. You too, sir.
I'm sorry.
I swear to God.
I have a
if
cold.
You keep ruining this for yeah, everyone else.
On his scalp,
right?
Right?
You can't see.
It was shaved head,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. And so it was all of this.
And like a giant.
And those
were
the
right
same
in.
Veins that popped out when he was
yeah.
shouting
yeah.
at Brenton. Oh my God.
I have been called a problem solver and a peacekeeper. Many a time.
You should run for
many
office.
A time.
So
I might someday. We'll have to delete all this shit.
Right. Get
track down.
It's already in the Google cache.
That's 2 hours and 20 minutes we have to throw
it.
Out.
Literally. When you put something on the internet, it's there forever.
Google stores it. It's there. Yeah.
Of
hunger. Oh my God.
You know
how
many more things
that are
going to be super disconcerting? Oh my God.
Schwarzenegger, and I'ma get mad deep like a threat. Blow up your project, then take all your assets. Cause I came to shake the frame in half with the thoughts that bomb shit like math. So if you wanna try to flip, go flip on the next man. Cause I'll grab the clip and hit you with 16 shots and more I got. Going to war with the melting pot. It's the Method Man for short, Mr. Map. Move it on your left. And set it off, get it off, let it off like a gat. I wanna break through, cop me back. Small change, they putting shame in the game. I take game and blow that nigga out the frame. And like bang, my style will live forever. Niggas crossing over like they don't know no better. But I do, true, can I get a suit? Not respect due to the 1-6, ooh, I mean, oh. Yo, check out the flow like the Hudson or PCP. When I'm dusting, niggas off because I'm hot like sauce. The smoke from the lyrical blood make me, ooh. What, grab my nut, get screwed. Here comes my Shaolin style. Truth be A, but B, why you to my crew with the.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, baby, baby, come on. Baby, come on, baby, baby, come on.
Yo, you best protect your neck.
First things first, man.
attack any nigga who's slacking his mat. Come fully packed with the fat brother stack. Same on you when you.